I want you to take your Bibles. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And today we're going to look at verses 38 through 42. I want to talk to you about this question. Are you devoted or are you distracted? Are you distracted or are you devoted? We'll be considering that question as we go along today in the Word of God. There's a video that went viral. It was produced by the Indiana University Police Academy. And it's an incredible thing to see. You'll want to watch it. Don't watch it while I'm preaching. Don't do it while I'm in the message. But after the service is over, maybe you want to watch it. It's just something to see. It shows these cadets, and they are lined up in rows and columns. And as they are lined up, one of their trainers is walking around among the different recruits. And he has in his hand a yellow and red rubber chicken. And this is called the rubber chicken test. He's taking that rubber chicken, and all the cadets are standing at attention, shoulders back, face forward. Their faces are set. They're supposed to be focused. They're supposed to have their composure together. And as they stand there at attention, he comes around them with that rubber chicken. Sometimes he brings it right up into their peripheral vision. Sometimes he takes it and squeezes it, and it makes a little honk in their ear. Sometimes he puts it right in front of their face. And they have different reactions. Many of them just stand there. They don't break focus. They don't smile. They don't even dart their eyes to the side. They just keep looking right ahead, stony-faced, as that rubber chicken is brought into their presence. Some of them smile and laugh the moment they see or hear that rubber chicken. Some of them at first begin to sort of hold on to their composure, then their lips start to quiver and they start laughing. If they laugh or even smile or even divert their attention, you hear one of the other trainers say, drop, and then they drop and they have to do push-ups until they've learned how to keep their focus and not get distracted. It's just a reminder to me of how many things our enemy, the devil, tries to put in our path week by week, day by day, to distract us from keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a devoted disciple? We're going to talk about that today as we look at the Word of God. Stand with me as we read together, beginning in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. The Bible says this, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" These are the words of Jesus. Join with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this good day that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you would move me out of the way. And Lord, speak a word to us today. Lord, show us what it means to live as devoted disciples. And we'll give you glory and honor and praise for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and before I get into the points of my message, I just want you to notice a few things about Martha and Mary. The Bible says in verse 38 that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, Jesus entered a village. Now, we know that that village was the village of Bethany. Bethany was the hometown of Martha and Mary and their younger brother, Lazarus. Now, we learn the story of these two sisters and their brother, not only in Luke chapter 10, but also, and you may just want to sort of mark this place in your Bible because I'll be referring to it a couple of times along the way. Also in John chapters 11 and 12, we learn about Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And one of the things the Bible tells us is that in verse 5 of John chapter 11 is that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so they lived in that town of Bethany, which is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. It's on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives. And so the Mount of Olives on the western side faces Jerusalem. But then on the other side of the mountain, even today, there is the village of Bethany. And that's where Martha lived and Mary along with her and their brother Lazarus. And the Bible says that Jesus loved this family. They loved him and he loved them. They had a close relationship with one another. So much that just about any time that Jesus was in the area, it seems that he would stop by and visit Martha and Mary and Lazarus as well there in Bethany. So they had that type of close, friendly relationship. And don't you know it was something that Martha and Mary would have taken a great deal of joy and delight in, to know that they were that close with Jesus. I'm sure they brought it up in conversation with other people. When other people would be in their house visiting, Martha might say something like, "Do you like that chair that you're sitting in? That's Jesus' favorite chair. That's where he always wants to sit when he comes. He's here all the time. That's his favorite chair. I'm glad you like that chair." Or maybe when they were serving the meal, Mary might say, "Do you want seconds for this? This is Jesus' favorite dish. He always has seconds. Wouldn't you like to have seconds?" Because, you know, if you know Jesus that well, if you have that type of relationship with him, you just sort of drop his name into conversations. Can I just stop there for a moment? If you know Jesus well, you'll drop his name into conversations. You'll talk about him to other people. When you're talking to others, you'll bring up your relationship with Jesus. If you're walking in a close relationship with him, his name just comes up. That was true for Martha and Mary. That should be true for us as well. Amen? Now, that's not part of my sermon. I just sort of threw that in for free. But Martha and Mary had a close relationship with Jesus. He loved them. They loved him. In this passage of Scripture, we see one day in the life of these two sisters. It's just one day. On this particular day, Martha was distracted. Mary was devoted. If it had been another day, the story might have been different. All believers and all followers of Jesus have our good days and our bad days. But on this day, we see one sister who was distracted, one who was devoted. And that's what I want us to talk about as we move along through this text. First of all, we see Martha. She's a picture of a distracted disciple. Martha was a picture of a distracted disciple. Now, notice what the Bible says about Martha. In fact, I want you to see just how devoted to Jesus Martha really was, because you don't want to miss this. She was not always distracted. In fact, she had a deep, deep faith in Jesus. One of the two greatest confessions of faith of who Jesus Christ is found in the gospel is in the Gospels is found on the lips of Martha. If you look in your Bible in John chapter 11, verse 27, the Bible says that Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe?" And she answered this way in verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Just as Peter once confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Martha herself confessed, "Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So this is a woman of deep, deep faith and faithfulness to the Lord. And we see that even in what happened with her on this day that we read about in Luke chapter 10. Notice the Bible says that Martha welcomed Jesus. She was a disciple who welcomed Jesus into her house. The Word of God says Martha welcomed him in. The word welcome means to receive someone gladly. She was so glad to see Jesus, and she welcomed him in. And notice the Bible says that this was her house. That's why we believe that in all likelihood Martha was the older of the two sisters. She was certainly the lady of the house, and she invited Jesus to come in. In those days, if you were the lady of the house and you invited a guest into your home, you were supposed to take care of that person. You were supposed to make sure that their feet got washed and that they had a comfortable place to sit and that there was something good for them to eat. And so she was doing all those things for Jesus. But remember, Jesus didn't show up alone. He brought with him 12 other guys, 12 guys plus Jesus, all barreling in to Martha's house and all those feet that have to be washed and all those meals that had to be prepared. But she welcomed them in. And then notice something else about Martha that shows her love for Jesus. The Bible says that she served Jesus. Now look in verse 40 of the text. The Bible says Martha was distracted with much serving. And in a moment we'll talk about the word distracted, but right now I want to focus on the word serving. Her heart was devoted to serving. The word serving there is the Greek word diakoneion. It means, it's the same word we get our word deacon from. A deacon is a servant. And the word diakoneia means to go through the dust, to kick up dust as you're going back and forth serving. That's a picture of what it means to serve the Lord. Nowhere does Jesus ever condemn service. Jesus always calls for and commends service. And so that was commendable in Martha's life. And so she welcomed Jesus in and she served Jesus. But then I want you to notice this. As a distracted disciple, she became distracted by her service. Her service to Jesus began to distract her from Jesus. Notice what the Bible says again in verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. The word distract there means to be pulled in different directions. One translation puts it, Martha was running around in circles because she was overly distracted by all the things that she had to do. So Jesus is there in her home and she wants to listen. It doesn't say she was disinterested in Jesus. It says she was distracted. So she was preparing and she was getting everything ready and she had one ear sort of attuned to what Jesus was saying, but at the same time, she had all these things she had to do. She became distracted in her service. Her service distracted her from her Savior. And so she was distracted. And then as a result of being distracted, is everybody with me so far? By the way, have you ever gotten distracted? Have you ever gotten distracted from Jesus, even as you were serving Jesus? You were doing something for the Lord. And in the midst of doing that thing for the Lord, whether it's teaching a class or helping someone with a need or whatever it might be, in serving the Lord, you get distracted and you get your eyes more on what you're doing than on the one for whom you are doing it. That's what was happening with Martha. And as she became distracted by serving, she also became, look at this, critical and angry. As a distracted disciple, she became critical and angry. She was critical and angry, first of all, at her sister Mary. Look in verse 39 of the text. The Bible says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments, but just think about it for now. Martha was working. Her sister was sitting. Now, we know that she was learning and listening to Jesus, but from Martha's perspective, it looked like her sister was just sitting there doing nothing while she was running around doing all these things she had to do. She became critical and angry toward Mary, but she also was a little bit critical and angry toward Jesus. Did you notice that? Look again in verse 40. The Bible says she went up to him. Look at it again. Martha was distracted with much service, and she went up to him. The English there doesn't capture the full force of the Greek language there. When it says she went up to him, the Greek word means that she burst in on Jesus. So Jesus is there teaching. He's pouring out his heart. His disciples are listening. Martha runs in and bursts in on Jesus. She gets up in his face and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And she was expecting a positive answer from Jesus. So she was basically saying, Jesus, surely you care. Surely this doesn't bother you that I'm all by myself serving and my sister is here listening. She made that complaint to Jesus and then she said, tell her then to help me. Now she called him Lord, but then she ordered him around and told him what to do. That's a problem, isn't it? If you call him Lord, you don't get to tell him what to do. But she did it. Lord, tell her then to help me. She was critical and angry toward her sister. She was critical and angry even toward the Lord. Martha had what we might call today a type A personality. Nothing wrong with a type A personality. You can accomplish all kinds of incredible things with a type A personality. Type A personality is a list maker, an accomplishment-oriented person. A person who's aggressive in a good way. A person who gets things done. A person who stays after it until it's done. All of those things are incredibly positive things about a type A personality. But there are some negatives to the type A personality. Sometimes a type A personality gets impatient with other people who don't see how badly it needs to get done and who aren't really doing what the type A person feels like they ought to be doing. Am I just standing up here all by myself, or do y'all know what I'm talking about? And so Martha became irritated and angry with her sister and with Jesus. And then Jesus looked at her, and because he loved her, he saw the real heart of what she was experiencing. Notice what he says in verse 41. He says, "Martha, Martha." He said her name twice because he loved her. It was a term of care and compassion for her. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Jesus said, "You're anxious." That word anxious means to have a divided mind. Martha, you're thinking about this and this and this. You're trying to think about 10 different things at once. He said, and you're troubled. The word troubled there means to be stirred up and upset. It's a word that's used sometimes in other places to talk about starting a riot. Martha, there's like a riot going on inside of you. You were so upset about many things. What was her problem? She was distracted. She welcomed in Jesus. She served Jesus. But she got distracted from Jesus as she served. She became critical and angry toward him and toward others. And she was troubled and anxious inside. That's what happens when we become distracted disciples. We get our eyes off of Jesus. We get our eyes on other things. It was several years ago on Mother's Day, and our son Joshua was maybe 14 years old. He was a young teenager. And the deal was that Joshua and I were going to, on Sunday afternoon of Mother's Day, prepare lunch for Michelle. And so we went out on Saturday and we got all the things we were going to get. He was going to make a salad and I was going to make mashed potatoes. So we got the salad, stuff for the salad. We got the potatoes for the mashed potatoes. And then I was going to grill on the grill ribeye steaks. And so we got some ribeye steaks. And we got those things not because that's what Michelle requested, but that's because it was what Joshua and I wanted to make, because sometimes that's how it works. I'm trying to do better on that kind of thing. But anyway, Sunday afternoon comes, and Joshua's in charge of the salad, so he's working on the salad. And I'm in charge of the steaks and the potatoes. So I turn on the grill, turn it on high, get it up to temperature, put the ribeyes on the grill, go back in. The potatoes, I've cut them up. They're boiling on the stove. I wait until they get soft. I drain all the water away. I start to mash up the potatoes. I put in a little bit of condensed milk and some butter. They become creamy. I put some salt and pepper in just to season them, and I mash them up, and they get really, really nice and fluffy. Do you remember that the steaks are still on the grill? I had completely forgotten that the steaks were on the grill. They stayed on the grill on one side on high for 25 minutes. Here's what I learned. A well-marbled ribeye steak will melt through the grate on the grill if you leave it on there. I mean, I came out, I can't even describe it. It had melted through. I had to pull it up off of the grate of the grill. It was just stuck in there, melted through. We managed to salvage one little piece of ribeye steak about that big that Michelle could at least chew. I told her today, I said, "I'm telling that story about the ribeyes on Mother's Day." She said, "Well, I had good mashed potatoes and salad that day." And that's what happened. She had good, the mashed potatoes were awesome. But what happened? I got my eyes focused on a side dish and I missed the main course. And that's what Martha did. Martha was paying attention to all kinds of things. Her mind was divided up about all kinds of things. But she missed the main course. Because of all the things that were being served up that day, the most important thing was what Jesus was serving up. The most important thing happening in that house was nothing that Martha was doing. It's what Jesus wanted to do in her life. And so in Martha, we see a picture of a distracted disciple. But then we move to Mary. In Mary, we see a picture of a devoted disciple. Look in verse 39 again and notice what the Word of God says. The Bible says that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. It's a beautiful thing. Every time we encounter Mary in the Gospels, she's always at the Lord's feet. Take your Bibles and turn a few pages over again to John chapter 11. And there in John chapter 11, we find Mary weeping at the Lord's feet. Her brother Lazarus had died. He was in the grave. They had wondered why Jesus had not come to heal him before he died. And the Bible says in verse 32 of John chapter 11, "Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled." The Lord Jesus was moved. Why? Because Mary was weeping at his feet. We find her weeping at his feet. And then turn one page over in your Bible to John chapter 12. And there we find Mary wiping the Lord's feet with her own hair. The Bible says in verse 3 of John chapter 12, "Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair." She loved him so much that when she anointed his feet, she wiped his feet with her own hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And so we find her weeping at the Lord's feet, and we find her wiping the Lord's feet with her own hair. But then in the text we're looking at today, we find Mary waiting at the Lord's feet. The Bible says she was waiting, sitting at his feet, listening. Notice what the Word of God says. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Don't miss the significance of that. In those days, to sit at a rabbi's feet, to sit at a teacher's feet, was more than just sitting there and looking up and adoring the person who was teaching you or admiring that person. To sit at someone's feet meant to become that teacher's disciple, to learn from that disciple or to learn from that teacher so that you could then lead others to follow that same teacher. And so when Mary was at the feet of Jesus, it shows that she was learning from him as his disciple. In fact, we find a very similar expression over in the book of Acts chapter 22, verse 3. And there Paul describes his own discipleship, the way he grew as a student of a rabbi named Gamaliel. This is before he became a believer, but he says this, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, and brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day." And so Paul says, I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. Mary was educated at the feet of Jesus. She was at the Lord's feet learning. Now that was something that the rabbis said you were to do. If a teacher came into your home, they said the thing to do was to sit at his feet. The Mishnah is a collection of the sayings of the ancient rabbis. And in the Mishnah, it has this saying, "Let your house be a gathering place for sages and wallow in the dust of their feet and drink in their words with gusto." So that's what Mary was doing. She was at the dust of his feet, learning from him and drinking in his words with gusto. Now that was a bold thing for Mary to do, because in those days, rabbis did not take on women as their disciples. The Bible doesn't prohibit that, but culture prohibited that. And so because she loved Jesus so much, and notice he welcomed her and did not turn her away because he loved her so greatly, she sat at his feet and she learned. And because she was learning at his feet as a devoted disciple, Mary focused on Jesus above everything else. Notice what Jesus says again in verse 42 of the text. Jesus says, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Martha, you are worried and troubled about all kinds of things. You're going this way and that way. Jesus said, it's not about many things. Martha, it's about one thing. And Mary understands that there's one thing to choose, one thing, the best portion, and that's to spend time in the presence of Jesus. Now, I want to ask you this question. Is your life about many things, or is it about one thing? Jesus calls for your life to be focused on one thing, and that's himself. You say, well, there are other things I have to do. Oh, I know there are other things you have to do. But until Jesus has become the one thing that dominates your life, all the other things just become distractions that can keep you from Him. And before I go on any further, I want to bring this up because it's so important and I see it so many times. There are many people in church who use serving and doing things in church as a way of avoiding Jesus. I have a friend named Dan. Dan got saved at the funeral service for his father-in-law. He told me there for the first time he heard the gospel, he understood he needed to be saved, and he turned from his sin and trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for his salvation. And I said to him, Dan, were you not involved in church before that time? He said, oh, I was involved, all kinds of involved in church. He said, I was doing all kinds of things. He said, I was serving on the finance committee because I'm a banker, so we've served on the finance committee. And he said, and I was a greeter because he's a naturally friendly person. And he said, I helped with all kinds of things. He said, but when I was doing those things to avoid dealing with Jesus. There may be somebody in this room like that, involved in all kinds of things, good things, religious things, church things. But those things are keeping you from the one thing. I'm not telling you that you don't need to be involved in those things. I'm telling you, don't let those things become what you use to avoid Jesus. Jesus says there's one thing. He says Mary's chosen that one thing, the best thing. And it's the best thing because it can't be taken away from her. When you know Jesus personally, when He's the one thing that dominates your life, then it helps you to put everything else in perspective. Someone asked the novelist Nora Roberts how she balanced her family and her kids and her career. Here's the answer she gave. She said it's sort of like a juggling act. And she said, and you, as you juggle, you've got two different types of balls. You've got plastic balls and you've got glass balls. She said, if you drop one of the plastic balls that you're juggling and it hits the ground, it's no big deal. It bounces. You can pick it back up again. She said, if you drop one of the glass balls, it shatters and it's destroyed. She said, the secret is learning which balls are plastic and which ones are glass and making sure you keep the glass balls in the air. I like that illustration because it reminds me of something. If there is one thing in your life that is precious, it's like that glass ball that you've got to keep up in the air, it is absolutely your relationship with Jesus Christ. Other things may or may not be so important, but that one thing is so important, knowing Jesus. The Word of God uses that phrase, one thing, a number of places in the Bible. One thing. Jesus says, Mary, you're troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David said, there's one thing my life's about. He did all kinds of things, but he said, there's one thing that my life is about, and that's to dwell in the presence of the Lord and to gaze on Him and to hear from Him. Is your life about many things or one thing? Paul said a similar thing in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13. He says this, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did Paul do just one thing? No, he did many things, but there was one thing that captivated his life, and that was his relationship with Jesus. Distracted or devoted? It depends on whether you're focused on that one thing. The most important thing, and that's Jesus. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room. I believe, in fact, I know that there are people in this room who are just where Martha was on this day that we've read about. You love the Lord, You know the Lord. You welcome him into your life. You want to serve him, but you've gotten distracted. I don't know what it is that's distracted you. Maybe it's something that you're doing as a hobby, or maybe it's something at work, or maybe it's your service in the church. You've allowed something, many things, to keep you from focusing on the one thing, and that is your love and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe there's some believers in this room who just need to call out to God and say, Lord, take away my distractions. Take away my divided mind and my troubled spirit and all the things that go along with that. And Lord Jesus, teach me to choose the best thing, and that's you. Just as Mary spent time at your feet hearing from you, learning from you, following you. Lord, give me a devoted heart. Lord, I let go of those other things so that I can focus on you. And when your focus is on him, he'll put all the other things where they need to be.